This is the Thursday edition of Don't Brown Stats. Remember, we go until 1 o'clock. We got the 12:30 latest coming up at 12:30 this afternoon. Lots of messages, lots of calls. Let's get through. We want to hear from all the sides in Barbados. This one says, Corey, the BNSI and the Fair Trading Commission have to do work on controlling prices. I can't touch that one. I don't think it works like that. But anyhow, tell the gentleman that he was lucky to have garbage collection so often. Most times in the country, it is 2 to 3 weeks. This one says, Corey, it's all political when it comes to the union. That one. Corey, the last administration paid little attention to the business community. How many times did they cry down the business sector and the unions? Even in the last social partnership meeting, the administration met because they committed to meet. But you could see from their stance that they were going no further once the meeting had been concluded. This one, the former government did not collect the expected returns from NSRL. Far from it. Receipts declined significantly. The temporary VAT increased also and failed to prop up revenues. Suffice to say, they have paid for their failure to meaningfully consult with those who know these things. It is just sad that they can now enjoy a pension, which in this person's opinion, they didn't rightfully earn. Based on the premise that a penny saved is a penny earned, each electric vehicle is a foreign exchange earner. If they escape the extra tax on fuel, all the better. This one says electric cars will charge through electricity, which use fuel, which will also be impacted by the fuel tax. This one, please, moderator, it would be wise to refer callers to the BLP manifesto to the mission critical policies within the first 6 months. One of your previous callers said in the first 5 days wanted to implement the removal of NSRL. What level of thinking is that? Going through them quickly, let's go. He said, I am responding to a Brass Stats caller regarding the NSRL. Product prices rise and fall based on what the retailer paid for the product. Prices did not raise immediately when the NSRL was implemented, at least at honest retailers. Prices went up after retailers had to replenish their stock and pay NSRL. The same would be true for the reduction or removal of NSRL. Prices can be lowered for products after existing stock has been sold, unless retailers can absorb the profits or actual losses. Corey, what happens to the person who has to pay $400 road tax the day before the act changes? I'm sure all those things will be outlined. What's wrong with exempting electric cars from road tax? This would encourage their use. In a decade or so, when electric cars are the norm, we can amend the tax method to include them. I'll read about two more, and then we go back over to the lines. This one says, Corey, I was glad to see you pick up on all the associations that have come forward and is ready and willing to work with the new government. Is it that the DLP had ignored these partners and were not willing to work with them and hid and withdrew themselves? And was not really willing to work within the previous government. This is something we all need to take a hard, long look at. So the government was forced to work with itself. What a shame. Shame on the unions. Shame on the social partners. Shame on the private sector. They all should all remember that BLP and DLP, we are all still one Barbados. This one says, Corey, the argument that all or most government revenue goes into one pot and therefore impossible to identify each department or ministry revenue collection is ridiculous. Obviously, there are accounting systems in place that will be able to track the daily monthly collection. I don't think the debate is whether we can track it or not. The debate is how it is spent. I must read these other two because they are from Charmaine Roland Boeing. And she says, Corey, it's not about who is big or bigger. I can be overly aggressive at times, and as I hate it when lives are lost and people are injured. I know. I pray against it, and I pray to be humble. While Dennis might be bigger, I remain small, and I do apologize to him and to the listeners, but I wouldn't become soft in this fight. May God bless him, and I know he gave me a good time on air. Signed, Charmaine. She goes on to say, Corey, on the point of electric vehicles, they should be encouraged as they cause less pollution in the environment as more persons go green. Overall, it is a healthier alternative. Some countries place a very small tax on these vehicles to compensate, but not as big as what is currently charged. 18 minutes afternoon. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Hello, Brass Stats, you're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Leon. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
No, not too bad. I was hoping that Mr. Price would be in because I remember that he and I had had a talk. I had come in the back of something which I heard on CBC 8 about getting the youth and interested in marine life. And I've also spoken about having marine biologists. And soon after that,
I think he's on Wednesday, Dennis. Wednesday. Okay, you could chat back in. I think he'll be on next Wednesday. Good afternoon, Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. You're on the air. Hello, good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, you're on the air.
I would like to share my perspective on the results of the recent general election in Barbados.
Share it.
First of all, let me preface this by extracting what I gather from the speech of our Prime Minister, Motley, which, and I consider this here to be her contract with Barbados, one I hold her firm to. And this is a quotation actually from her exact words. It is the people's, it is the people of Barbados victory. Our legacy to the people of Barbados is to give back your government and governance. We have to heal and to allow many hands to make light work. It is our mandate. Each of us will have a role to play, and we shall do this, the rebuilding of our Barbados together. We cannot do this without winning labor unions and the private sector and the NGOs and the churches to the table. We are committed to a committee of social justice that must include the churches and the non-governmental organizations, along with the unions and private sector, end of quote. I think that with such a contract, perhaps the greatest thing that happened to Barbados is the election of this new government. And I like it in particular because that, one, the Barbadian people were able to demonstrate the power and the resoluteness that lies within us as a nation. That is, that we are not only able to express our dissatisfaction, but we do so without committing any infractions and of anything that makes us feel uncomfortable for our development. I also take note that what has happened is, during this period, a number of voices that you've never heard. We have so many political parties, and I appreciate the way that VOB actually handled this election period, mm-hmm. whereas they invited different people and allowed different ideas to come up. Now, on that basis, I believe that, like what was just being said, that for an oppositional government, our opposition government, in my mind, has not worked. Whenever it's done, the party in power still vote. Mm-hmm, they refuse to lay reports, and it's all comical. Now, if we get, given the situation, with the opposition, I believe that a lot of these people, for example, like this girl, Crystal Austin, I heard that young lady speak. I don't know her. I don't know her, even the philosophy of the party. But I really admire the way in which she spoke. I think she's UPP. And I think that people like her should be placed in the Senate. So my pausing words on it is that I believe that, given the way in which we have a chance, let me repeat myself, this election victory have given Barbados a unique position to be a leader in the Caribbean. It gives us an opportunity to set up for political reform, social reform, and national reform.
I think it would be a shame if we don't go that way, because I've heard and I've said on this program numerous times a debate in this very studio I'm in with former Minister Stephen Lashley and now Prime Minister Mia Motley talk about the restructuring required for our Westminster system, in relation to the usefulness or lack thereof of the Senate and the way that we are currently structured. So I think with the type of majority and elbow room, I mean whole body room, that the government has right now, it would be a shame that at the end of the process, this may not be any mission critical, so I don't expect it up front, but the whole idea of the big ticket items being challenged, I think, is a way that we would need to go. I want to read this WhatsApp in relation to what you just said, though. And it says, is there a practical way to have the public say? It would be best to have the public decide. Many voters voted against the DLP, and several good candidates were unfortunately lost in the agenda. However, a vote for the two opposition representatives may give a more reasonable outcome as to the opposition voices that should be heard. For example, Crystal Alsting was cited by many as a credible candidate, but her numbers at the poll would not have been favorable as a result to drive the elimination of the DLP. Yes. The public may be more open to hear her and others know that the focus is different. And that is from Crystal Howell.
But I think that I am not, like I said, I am not alone in this. And furthermore, I think that Maya has a lot to defend and to make this happen as we are putting forward here. Why? We know her being first Barbados female, and also the first prime minister to have licked out entirely an opposition. And I'm saying that I would like the people of Barbados, whether it be the churches, and let us stop being biased and let us use opportunity now to make Barbados a leading country in the world. That's my contribution right now.
And I thank you for that. I think the difficulty with that will be for the hardcore Democratic Labour Party supporters. And I'll tell you why. For 10 years, I would tell you, you know, y'all did not come to the aid of my government. At every turn, you decided to block, and now all of a sudden everybody will let's come and work together. What happened to let's work together over the last 10 years? And I could see that attitude actually getting in the way for this whole one Barbados mission critical save. I can see that. So we would have to definitely do some healing before we can see that one. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Mr. Corey.
Yes, sir. Mr. Arthur.
I'm going to recommend you for the Senate, but not just yet, but very soon.
But here, listen, I want to cross you on that. I see people here, I think Bruce Hennis would be a good pick, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
And then people, what I'm saying is because so many people are sending different recommendations for Senate, we're going to have to make the Senate like 100 seats.
yeah, I guess so. Everybody have a voice.
I tell you, boy.
Mr. Corey, before I get to my, I was glad that Mr. Boyne called back and at least recognized that Mr. Johnson was very reasonable with her,
mm-hmm.
and in the circumstances, she was a bit, you know, enthusiastic and so on. I didn't think it was fair to blame Mr. Johnson, but as I said, you know, the old people say, "Who you like, who you are, who the
cold like you lick, and who you don't like, he kick."
So you get kicked.
Don't
first,
milk
and
all.
You get kicked and then says sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Johnson got kicked and now yeah, sorry, but he will heal. I get a lot of them too, no problem. Then he'll heal.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Corey, I want to look at this thing about your road tax. Right now, I pay $400 a year on my road tax. I don't have one of these big vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a low-end subscriber. Now, I can see a reasonable argument made that instead, if you don't have $400, or you can't pay $400 one time, you pay it in two installments, one in January and one in June. $225, let's say, because there's going to be a little interest add-on for administrative costs. I thought that would make more sense. So if I can't pay $400 one time, pay $225 in January and $225 in June. As far as this tax on the fuel is concerned, it's going to create a problem in that if I buy $100 in gas a week, now, every time I buy gas, they have to make a taxable deduction for me and for thousands of others. These records have got to be kept and they've got to be accumulated over, I would say, a period of a month, daily, weekly, and then monthly, so that the retailer is now going to accumulate and decide how much money he has to send to the Treasury.
You know, it don't work like that. My thing is, with this tax, I think that we need to get the rates first, because if you pay $100 a week in gas, right? If you multiply that by 52, right, you spend $5,200 in gas, right? So let's say the tax is 1%, right? You actually could pay not as much as you believe that it is that you would end up spending. So the whole idea is we need to find out the rate first. I don't know how people could criticize this. You pay something like $52 in as opposed to $400. So you're actually paying less. So my thing is that we got to understand, we got to get more information on this before we seek to criticize. I want to read one quick one because I think I can hear the music in the background coming up. It says, people seem to forget that the Democratic Labour Party government increased the excise on gasoline and diesel by 25 cents and 24 cents respectively on June 1st, 2017. And we still had to pay the road tax in full. There was hardly this type of backlash then as it is now for the proposed shift from a road tax to a fuel tax. I'm Corey Lane, and we're going to the 12:30 latest from the Starcom Network News. Don't you move. Remember, Boss Stats continues and go until 1 p.m. this afternoon. 15 minutes before 1. 15 minutes before we strike up the band and head home for this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Get a few WhatsApps and then we go to the lines. It says, hi, Corey. How are you? Great to hear your voice. Corey, I have two questions. One, I was with the campaign with all parties until elections, all the brick expressions, I call it. Corey, as a first timer, what can you tell us on a one party ruling and what can we take into consideration from the losing party? Number two, looking from outside, Corey, those non-nationals who taken part in the election by the CCJ junction, could you say how the immigration policy work with that and now with the new government? What implementation you think can be put in place? This one says, rats are now a huge problem in Barbados, and what are we doing about it? Am I the only one seeing this as a problem that's growing here? I suggest the Agriculture Department check around about importing owls from our neighboring island, Grenada, and releasing them to control the rats. Owls are nocturnal, and so are the rats. Just an idea to help control this serious problem. Leprosy is not Leptospirosis is what it's supposed to be, isn't something we want to be an issue here in Barbados. And those two emails, very interesting, something that can be discussed. People seem to forget that the DLP government increased the excise. I think when we read that one already, we'll read two more, go back to the line. It says, hi, Corey, I'm in the USA and I have properties in Barbados. Could you please ask Flo representative why I cannot get help when I call the 1-800 number? I did and was asked, which was to put in my number two times, and then it said goodbye, and my problems continue. Corey, this one, another one. Corey, the people of Barbados have spoken loudly. We don't want to see them nowhere near our parliament again, not even in the public gallery. Let those two seats be given to the UPP and Solution Barbados, one each. And this one says, Corey, the installation method does not make any sense because you would have to keep going to the licensing authority. The tax at the pump would be better because one illegal person that don't pay a tax, no back tax if your car is off the road. Three, cut down on the amount of pressure on licensing. And someone else say, if you pay the installation, what is to say you'll go back and pay the second installation? So lots of ideas, lots of discussions. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, good day.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
Yes. Greetings in divine, you know, Kidamawi Hameshiach, Haile Selassie I. We are at a point in history, very, very serious, my friend. Something don't happen in the election, which is the worst election in Barbados history, with so much discrepancies and irregularities and abnormalities that occurred that persons are not speaking about. Now, when 18 persons who have not originated in this country, where the majority of the black population who have suffered the indignity of not being allowed to vote because of the color of the skin or because they not had property, and they fought in 2 world wars to allow their generations to come inherit that opportunity, to be eroded because of irregularities at the electoral offices where they went to get to cast their vote. They stood in hours long, long, long waiting to vote, then to be told that you are not on the list. The other persons had IDs and were also told we are still not on the list. But at the same time, 18 persons could have had a domino effect that caused the protocol and procedure of Barbados elections to be taken into a tail swing for 3 hours, where persons were allowed by a CCJ, which the Prime Minister, the original Prime Minister, Sunday Stewart, warned us is undermining the sovereignty of Barbados because...
But sir, it wasn't just the CCJ alone. It was our Chief Justice as well on two of those occasions. It wasn't just the CCJ.
That is not the point. The injunction was applied at the CCJ. At the CCJ overriding the Electoral Boundaries Commission, which said that these persons should not be allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So that caused the tailspin for 3 extra hours, where it was supposed to start at 6, where the voting was supposed to end at 6. Mm-hmm. The voting boxes were brought in after 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that 3 hour space, sir, there's so much abnormalities that occurred, where boxes that were supposed to be brought in by the police attendant were not there. Police were done shift. The people that was old people that who lived in this country for years that were not even allowed to vote. All of these things are abnormalities and irregularities. And no one seems to be speaking about these things. This is the worst election in Barbados history. And Almighty is not sleeping because it's an undermining of the sovereignty of this country when a court, which was supposed to be...
But do you believe, sir, in the rule of law?
Obviously, we have to believe in the rule of law. But with whose law? Man's law or God's law? This is the...
Could you point to me where either... or would have been trampled on?
Well, I could talk about where persons that born here were told that they are not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
They are not registered. They are not. But yesterday was an announcement on the TV that once you have a Barbados ID, you can be able to go and vote.
I remember they're saying even if you don't have a Barbados ID, you could go and vote once you're registered in the system.
But so if we put that in context, sir,
mm-hmm.
and you see that 18 people... who were not even...
You keep focusing on the 18, right? They say the true test of a society is how you treat the minority. Now, if it was one or two, and you were those one or two, and you felt as though your rights, the justice for you was not being seen to be done, you would say, well, I'm just one or two, and you're willing to give up your rights, to give up what the law prescribes to you. My understanding of the situation is really that the law has been there for a while, it's not been followed, and what was being done by the Chief Justice and the CCJ is that they were upholding a law that stood. That's all it really was, you know. You were commanded by the law courts in Barbados and at the CCJ to carry out a mandate, to carry out a ruling, and you refuse. At the end of the day, that does not fall on the overall that falls on the Electoral Boundaries Commission and the Electoral Department. That's where that falls. And you said that no one is talking about it, but my understanding is that the government said that they would have an investigation into the last election. And I think we gotta start with the investigation, because you gotta get the facts. How do you prosecute something without the facts?
Of course, but when you look at the facts that you have a 30-0, meaning no, you're basically in a dictatorship. So if Barbados was republic today, you would call Barbados a dictatorship. If not for the Golden Queen, regardless of how people say she's a colonial head, she is there as a watchful eye.
But let me get down to brass tacks. Do you believe that the irregularities... Do you believe that the undermining and the irregularities added to the result?
Very much so. I actually feel that when you could got the same minority that you're speaking of, but the majority of black independent people that lived in this country for years and went to cast their vote and were not allowed because of irregularities in the election process.
And you believe that those people that were not allowed would have made a significant difference in the outcome?
Of course, sir.
But why would you say that?
You can look at a minority and look at the majority who have been disenfranchised or displaced.
I don't think it's the majority of voters that were not allowed to vote.
You're thinking, but you do not have that information.
Neither do you.
So if you are saying that, then that means you must also look into the element that it is also the great possibility.
So you agree that there's need for investigation, which has already been called for?
I call this election null and void.
Whoa.
Straight and plain.
Listen, if the result was, I would agree with you.
And the procedures were not followed in terms of police even making sure that the boxes were attained and attended to the point that they were supposed to reach. All these procedures and protocols were broken because of this 3 hour extra voting period that was allowed by the CCJ.
Listen, I like you, when I first sat down and looked at the result of it, I said, well, this is magic. How you get this magic thing new? But hold on a minute.
Witchcraft.
Hold on a minute. You gotta ask yourself the question then. How then the results from each and every box told the story? You would have had to actually manipulate every single one of those 314 boxes. And I think the two boxes that went to the Democratic Labour Party and all the rest went to the Barbados Labour Party, which tells me that you would have had to manipulate every single box in the island, bar two.
When you have a lot of money in this country, it seems you are able to do many things, sir. Mm. And we know this as black people. Mm. I don't know what the rest of people in this country feel it is.
Mm-hmm.
But remember before, the storm is the calm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a storm coming for this country. And if this election is not done in a just process, in the sight of the Most High God, who lives and rules and reigns, Barbados will be judged accordingly. And the people and the conspirators within the Caribbean area, which is St. Vincent, Dominica, Grenada, Cuba, Venezuela, all the communist states that are trying to set up a republic in Barbados is replicating the same communist agenda, well, they will have the reckoning coming. And this is a warning to all that is sitting in Parliament today that the Most High God is not sleeping. And if they feel that they can buy out Barbados, meaning democracy has been undermined and the sovereignty of Barbados is being undermined by Trinidadian interests. And this is the real thing that we need to speak about. And if this election has so much irregularities, abnormalities that are unprecedented, well, then the election should be cleared null and void and a true and just election recalled.
And then you get the same result, then what do you do after
but
that?
Then you should say it has been done in the
due
process,
in fairness.
And there are no irregularities or abnormalities that have occurred.
Well, let us keep our eyes and ears open and wait for the results of the investigation to see what are the facts.
Investigation conducted by whom? I would prefer the Queen of England conduct the investigation. I don't have
She has stopped flying because of her ears, so I don't think she'd be able to conduct any.
But she has a Governor General there that represents her interests here in Barbados. Mm. And if you wouldn't have a Governor General here in Barbados today, Barbados would be a dictatorship, falling for other communist regime, either in Russia or China or in Cuba or Venezuela or St. Vincent or Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
This is the real thing, where the money stops. And Mr. St. Clair talk about this man that came from Nigeria. And Nigeria has refused to join the African Free Trade Area because of its communist interests that are in there, that do not want to see the Africans, the true Africans, united economically.
Mm-hmm.
And also South Africa is also under the same regime.
But there are three different points to what you're making. There's the CCJ ruling. That is one topic on its own. There's the disorganization. The disorganization of the, or the organization or lack thereof of the this election. And then there's the whole idea of what I would term a blackness.
The persons that are old people that who are the foundation fathers of this country that were not allowed to vote.
I think the whole idea of knowing who was and was not allowed to vote is something that we really would have to investigate. I'm for one think that everybody that is entitled to vote should be allowed to vote. There should be no turning back, so to speak. So all these things we have to look into. But I think the way you presented your case, it does not hold water today. I think we need to get the facts and then we could comment on it from there. This conspiracy theory and this whole idea of crying foul is something that is like spitting up into the air. I think we have to get the facts, let the investigation go on. And I want to make sure and put the journalists on alert. Don't let this one die. Don't let this one be swept under the carpet. Let's see the results of that investigation or forever in people's mind, like the last caller or this caller we have on the air right now would be going on and on about a null and void election. But let me take this opportunity to say a special thanks to Dennis Johnson, who held the hot chair, the very hot chair of the beginning part of the program. I also want to thank him for taking care of things, production and technical. And I want to thank you who would have sent your many messages and also who would have sent and call, pick up the phone and give us a call this afternoon on the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Stay tuned and make sure you follow up on fireworks here on Voice of Barbados. This is Corey Lane saying, Lane out.